Our 10-minute speaker is Kirk W. from San Diego.
Aloha, everybody. I'm Kirk. I'm an alcoholic. It's a pleasure to be here. And welcome to all the new people to Alcoholics Anonymous. And welcome our visitors. I used to live in San Ramon and got in a lot of trouble in Walnut Creek. And conversely, this last year went to some great meetings in Boston. So welcome. My wife and my 8-year-old daughter are here, and I remember when my daughter was born. I remember the doctor held her up, and she was smiling, and she was perfect, and she had no fear, no doubt, no guilt, no shame, no judgment. None of that stuff we carry around with us. And I think when I was little, I was that same way. I really, really do. And going from being born to when I was 8, I can remember it crystal clear. I'm 8 years old, across the street from my house. I'm with some teenagers, some like high schoolers in their garage. They're working on cars or doing something. And my dad came home, and all of a sudden you hear him fighting with my mom, and he's yelling at my mom, and all of a sudden I'm afraid to go home. And I did not want to go home, and these teenagers said, "Drink this and smoke this, and it'll be okay." And I remember it. It was Michelob, and it was some type of pot. And it wasn't Killer Green pot. I can remember that, but it was some type of pot. And I remember in no time did I not care about going back home. I felt different. I loved the effect produced by the alcohol and the marijuana. I loved it. And up until that point, I was a good kid. And I dreamed of good things. And I was going to be a good person. And I played sports. And I did music. And I was in theater. And my life was full. And I was a straight-A student. And I remember I wanted to be a doctor, a lawyer, a pro football player, and the president of the United States. Those were my dreams. And fast forward, I can just fast forward 5 years. I'm in junior high school here in San Diego, and I had forgotten all of that. I was like going like this, and I was introduced to pot and booze, and I just went like that. And I had forgotten about all those childhood dreams about being a good kid, and all I really cared about were girls, sports, fighting and partying. That's all I really cared about. Because I did all of those things very well, and my peers gave me praise for them, and I felt good about myself. And I chased the party as long as I could. I chased it as long as I could. And I really gave up everything. I really gave up everything for the party. I gave up my values, my hopes, my dreams, everything, just to chase the party. And I went as long as I possibly could. And at the end, my dad died when I was 25. I was a sous chef of a restaurant up in Carlsbad, and I was kind of holding it together even though I was a complete mess on the outside. I really had all these different people, you know, people in suits. I would show you this person, you know, I wanted to be like this good preppy kid. And if you rode, you know, if you were a biker, I wanted to show you this tough guy. And when my dad died, I had no tools to deal with the feelings, none. Because I came from a place where you put your head down, you fought, you gave 100%, you competed and you won. And I had no tools to deal with that. And I basically tried to drink the feelings away. And I went from being the sous chef of a restaurant to the line cook of a restaurant to the breakfast cook to a graveyard cook of a dive restaurant out in San Marcos where I would not hang out with anyone that worked there. They were lowlifes in my mind. They were lowlifes. I wouldn't hang out with you, but I was working there. And this kitchen manager who I thought was a lowlife, he came to me in one day and he said, "I'm going to have to let you go. You're a mess. You need some help." And other people had told me that before, but I didn't listen. And I didn't listen to him. You know, I was like, you know, "Do you know who I am?" And I basically went from there, and pretty soon I was homeless and I was living on the street and drinking and drugging as much as I could, you know, just to be okay with myself. And at the end, I can remember it to this day, June 3rd of 1992, and no matter how much I drank, it wouldn't take away that crappy feeling inside. You know, I hated myself. I was a hope to dry dunk, and it wouldn't take it away. And I said, "God, help me." And the only difference that day is I was sincere. I'd had 911 God before, you know, where I'm like, you know, getting taken to jail and, you know, help me, and I really wasn't sincere. And I had 411 God also, like, you had your stuff going on, and I kind of wanted to get my life together, and I kind of checked it out, and yeah, you know, 30 seconds later, forget it. But this time I was really sincere, and the next day I was brought to a treatment facility, Scripps McDonald Center, and I don't remember what they said there. In that 30 days I was there, but there were people that were happy there. And people were looking at me without fear, without disgust, without disdain in their eyes, and without pity in their eyes. And I wanted that look you people had in your eyes. And I was willing to do it. And they said, you know, if you want what we have, do what we do. And when you leave here, don't go back where you're from, because you will drink again. And really, I didn't know anybody that didn't drink. You know, by the time I got here, I swore I was going to drink and drug every day till the day I died. I didn't think you could have fun unless you were drinking and drugging. I didn't think you were cool unless you were drinking and drugging. And I wouldn't hang out with you. But you know what? I followed you, and I went from there to crash short term up on 41st and Marlboro. And I went through that, and they made me get a sponsor. They made me get a book. It was the effing book, the effing sponsor, the effing steps. These were the effing meetings when I got here. And I really did. I wasn't an alcoholic, and I didn't believe in you, but I believed in this one guy, and he took me through the steps, and he didn't have me praying to the God, because I didn't believe in God when I got here. You know, I didn't believe in God, I didn't believe in you, and I didn't believe in me when I got here. But I believed in this one guy, and I followed him, and he had me just reading the prayers from the book. He didn't have me praying them, he just had me reading them, and he had me going to lots of meetings, setting up chairs, doing all this stuff, and I was going to leave early, and he said, I don't want to hear you talking crap about AA if you leave before you go through all the steps, because the steps are what the program is. If you leave, don't talk crap about it, because you're not giving it a chance. He said, you've got to give yourself a chance to go through the 12 steps to have a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. Because when you got here, your spirit was broken. Your spirit was broken. And you know what? I took him up on a challenge, and I did that. And I followed him through the steps, and my whole life changed. I did not, when I was a little kid, I did not have a goal to one day be up here saying I'm an alcoholic. That was not one of my goals. But you know what? AA, I'll tell you, you know, sometime along that path through the steps, I forgot that I was a tough guy that was going to drink and drug every day for the day till the day I die. And I just forgot about it. It's like, even when I was at crash, I went 2 days without thinking about getting drunk. You know, and all of a sudden he called me up at the end of that 12 steps, and he said, come to my house, look in the mirror. You're not the same punk, frightened, dangerous kid you were when you got here. You've had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. And it's the greatest thing that I really never wanted. AA is truly the greatest thing I never wanted. And you know, fast forward all these years, and you know, my sobriety date's still the same. They told me when I get here, get a sponsor, get a home group that's a men's meeting, get a sobriety date. My sobriety date's June 5th, 1992. And when I got here, I did not want that to be my sobriety date. No way. If you would have told me I'd have 19 plus years sober when I got here, I would have flipped you off and left. No thank you. But you know, I found everything in Alcoholics Anonymous that I ever dreamed of out here. You guys are my foundation for living. Today, anything that goes on, I use the steps and the action that's outlined in the steps for anything that I go through. Anything that I go through, I just use this, and I use you guys. You guys are my mirror for how I live. You know, I'm so grateful you're all here. Thank you so much for letting me share.